Please do something next year. Please sign Gyökeres. Please sign.
Would you get a Gyökeres number 14 new Arsenal kit?
Oh my God, yeah. Jesus, I can't wait. Well, I think I'm a big kick guy.
We here! Yes, sir. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the 6 Year Box Podcast. This is episode 90. Of the program. Me and Blake here, delivering a little two-man. Antoine, unavailable for this one, but it's all okay. Today, we are delivering a little review of the FA Cup, some Premier League action, some action all around Europe. We're previewing the Europa League final in just a couple of days. We're going over a couple of transfers. Blake, how are you doing, my friend?
That's a loaded question. I feel like usually we ask this question and it's pretty loaded in the sporting world, especially in regards to my feelings on it. Not great. Slightly depressed, slightly considering like my fandom of sport as a whole, which is like a usual occurrence this time of year.
Yep.
But
tell the audience, what are you sad about?
Well, the Leafs have lost another game 7 against the Florida Panthers. And it's I mean, this obviously isn't a hockey podcast, but it's just words don't even describe the performance that was shown last night and what I feel right now. And I'm just happy this shit show's over. I'm just happy that finally there will be some change. Finally.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
For anybody wondering, 6 yard box, that means we're from Toronto. Naturally, we are, I mean, Blake more than me, but hockey and by extension, Toronto Maple Leafs fans. And if you did not know, they are the biggest laughingstock choke artists in sports. Period.
It's pretty bad. Like, people are comparing them to Arsenal and Tottenham. Like, they're like their own beast.
Well, that actually leads me on to the question I had.
Like, okay.
And I'll give one more piece of context for the audience before I pose this question. For anybody listening who may not be into hockey, I don't blame you if you're not. Just a little stat here to put into perspective how much of a laughingstock the Leafs can be. The Toronto Maple Leafs have lost their last 8 winner-take-all games in a row. That's every game 7 plus 2020 against Columbus, game 5. They've lost every single one in a row. And if you don't know, in hockey, game 7, I mean, hockey in general, playoff hockey is very, very close. If you make it to a game 7, basically in any sport, it's essentially a coin flip whether or not you're going to go through or not if you're taking a team to 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
Based on implied probability, the actual chances of the Leafs losing every single one of these winner-take-all games is 0.29%. That is 1 in 345.
Well,
since 2013, the Leafs have never won a winner-take-all game, and they have not won a Stanley Cup, of course, since the year of our Lord, 1967. So my question to you, Blake, as an avid football and an avid Toronto Maple Leafs fan, who are the Toronto Maple Leafs of soccer?
Oh, I don't know, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. They're their own beasts. Like, I really do think they have a lot of Arsenal in them. Now I think Arsenal, hopefully, have taken a step forward because they've been so close to glory. And the Leafs have never really gotten that close. They've been to the second round twice in the last 10 years. And there's 4 rounds in hockey. So they've only been to, like, the quarterfinals, essentially. The quarterfinals, essentially. So I'm going to go with Arsenal, which is funny because I'm also an Arsenal fan. So it's literally just, like, the two laughing stocks of each respective sport. But they're just so good. Like, there's never been a team that is so good during the regular season but so bad in the playoffs. Like, they're so good when there's no pressure, but when there is any sort of pressure, the core of this team is simply not able to do it. I mean, we can leave it off at that, but I mean, actually, can I segue into something?
Sure.
This is what I want to say about, I was questioning my fandom, and like, obviously I'm not going to be a fan of these teams, but like, I think this moment, funnily enough, proves my point about how sports is not about winning. Because, and if we go into Crystal Palace, it kind of leads into that as well. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that happened before Crystal Palace eventually winning, everything that happens before the Leafs eventually do win a cup, everything that happens before Arsenal maybe win a cup one day, that is all the narrative building to what will be an amazing moment. Because right now I'm questioning, is it even worth the pain anymore? Like, is that one victory, whatever it may be, a Leafs Cup, an Arsenal Champions League, an Arsenal Prem, is it worth everything I go through every single season? All the heartbreak. We spend so much hours on this podcast, watching on our own, spending money on merchandise. Is it worth all of that pain, that monetary loss to just witness it over and over again for the one eventual win? And I think it is. But my point is that you and Antoine definitely have a more like analysis-focused brain. But I think when it comes to storytelling and narratives, like, that's my thing. And that's why not every season is about winning. Mm-hmm. There is like value and character building in losing. Not for the Leafs. They've had their nine seasons. Like, the best shows are not one season long. Mm-hmm. They're seven, eight, nine season long because they've had time to build character, build storylines. The Leafs are coming up on their fucking finale, so let's get a win sooner rather than later. But anyway, that's, I guess, my mindset right now.
Yeah, I think if we're talking odds, as we can see, the Leafs are great at blowing odds. But if we're being real, in American sports, the chances of our team winning it in our lifetimes, they're pretty fair.
Yeah.
They're pretty fair.
Yeah.
I'd say even with United being as shit as they are, I still accept it will happen. It'll happen again in my life. Eventually, right?
Yeah.
Surely. Surely they're not going to go the rest of my life not winning a title. Surely the Leafs. Maybe not this core. Maybe not the next championship-worthy core. Maybe not even the one after that. But eventually, we might be flirting with the grave at that point. Yeah. I don't know. But eventually, surely,
like, you have to
it.
Think, yeah.
And the pain will feel so worth it in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it does eventually happen.
I agree. I totally agree.
Leafs to soccer comparison. You want to know what ChatGPT gave
me? What did ChatGPT give us?
First gave me Spurs. That's the biggest one.
Fair.
Honorable mention. The England men's national team.
That one I love. Actually, that one I love a lot.
Last won their title in 66.
Yeah.
Leafs 67.
Yeah.
Big history of choking in finals recently. Yeah. Not getting it done when it matters most.
Yeah.
Questionable delivery from core players.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like that comparison.
Actually, that's
most.
That's a wonderful comparison.
Yeah.
The Leafs and England men's national team are like perfect for each other.
Attention.
Yeah.
Media pressure.
Yeah.
Fan base.
That's what it is too. It's the media pressure.
Because their country's team.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Fuck all of you fucking Canadians, man. But no, that's a really good comparison because you're right. It's always the expectations.
Yes.
It's the big players not showing up. It's the heartbreaking losses on penalties. It's the great moments still, like our first win against Tampa and the Jude overhead kick to tie it just last year or whatever the hell that was. Yeah. Last year, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. I've seen that one floating around. That's a good one. I like that. Shout out ChatGPT. But yeah, anyway, fuck the Leafs. Like, I'm going to still be a fan forever. Like, I love that team.
Regrettably, but yeah.
We'll be here.
Okay. You alluded to it before. Let's move on to a first-time trophy.
Yes!
A drought being quenched for Crystal Palace winning their first ever trophy, beating Man City in the FA Cup final. What a moment. And football won.
Football fucking won, dude. Like, obviously, we all hate City, but holy shit.
Yeah.
What a moment.
I know.
And, like, we need to look at this Palace performance and this Palace season in a very wide scale viewpoint, because a lot of things happened. Like, they faced a lot of adversity this season. Obviously, the main narrative of this game is that passion beat oil money. And that's like the biggest thing to take away is that the passion, the fans, and just like the waiting and the smaller team got the upper hand on the, you know, the oil merchants who have won for the last 10 years, whatever. But more on the Crystal Palace side, like, let's look at their entire season as a whole, okay? Michael Olise, Miguel, my boy, he left. Mm-hmm. Their best player their best player leaves in the summer, and that's never a hard thing to do. Sure, they got money for him, and he lights it up at Bayern. You don't think that's hard for not just the fans, but the players and the management? Yeah, they got a good value for him, but to see him thrive at a different club, it's like...
It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. Your best player leaves. One, that sucks. Your best striker gets injured And, I mean, sure, he was back at this stage, but still a pretty scary injury at that point, too.
Oh, yeah.
And he was on a generational run. You had the stupid songs going everywhere. He gets injured for a good amount of time. Eze had a terrible start to his season.
Crystal Palace had a terrible start this season. They were threatened by relegation at the start of the season.
They were
really bad.
They were not in a good spot.
Not at all.
And somehow, some way, this team pulls together, gets into a FA Cup final. They've never, ever fucking been in a... They've never won a major before.
Yep.
And look what happens. The performance that they put on, albeit had flaws, but altogether, they were fantastic.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. I want to point out the sequence for the goal. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fantastic. It was the lofted ball, bringing it down from Mateta.
Mm.
That sequence was beautiful. Swings it out to Munoz. Beautiful cross into Eze. Eh? Just those three players. Just beautiful.
So good.
Just beautiful, man. A big shout out to Adam Wharton as well. I told you before the podcast that he had to miss. This poor guy had to take a Kevin De Bruyne rocket to the head, got a concussion, and missed the trophy celebration. Yeah. That sucks, dude.
Didn't he go into it, too? Like, he tried to block it, no?
Oh, yeah.
That's like, what a guy, bro.
Putting your life on the line. For
a Kevin De Bruyne shot?
Yes.
Wait, hold on. There's one other player I want to shout out. I think he's like a new up-and-coming goalie that, like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like
we're going to get into
like,
this.
It seemed like United. Imagine a team like United had some... Oh, Dean Henderson. That's his name. Imagine a team like Manchester United had a fucking goalie like Dean Henderson in their system. Like... Not only does he have aura by wearing a fucking cap while he plays in a final.
He did for United, too.
He did, you're right. He did. But he played fantastic, man. The penalty save. Ooh, should that have been a red card?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't want to say this quickly, but yes. Yeah, it should have. I don't know how the fuck that's not a red card. But it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's really funny because, like, no one cares. Like, it's like no one cares that it should have been a red.
No, but I cannot be a hypocrite. We should care about it. Because let's be real. Most fans are taking this approach. Should it have been a red? Yes. Do we care? Absolutely not. But that's not the right way to go about it.
No, it's not.
If it was Arsenal in that situation, if it was United, if it was Liverpool or anything, you would be berating me about why are we just ignoring this? Why can't we talk about this? Blah, 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 blah. Like, we've been so like, we should have a trophy right now.
Yeah.
And like, if I was City, I would feel hard done by too.
Yeah.
So like, in that way, I feel bad for City. At the same time, it's very hard to feel bad for City.
Yeah. Really hard.
It's really hard to feel bad. It's really hard to feel bad for City.
And there's a scenario here now, very unlikely, where this Manchester City team, after spending $200 million in January, they might not make Champions League.
Yes.
Very unlikely still.
Very slim.
Yeah.
Yes. But you're right. You're absolutely right. There is a situation where Pep becomes disgruntled and wants to leave. I don't know. Like, so, let's get into it because this is a crisis.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say they spent $150 million in January, have barely played those players. I think mistreated a lot of them very badly. One of them, Echeverri, kind of butchering that name, Echeverri. Young Argentine prospect.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Made his Man City debut in this game, in the FA Cup final. Had a chance to score, actually. He has played 14 minutes all season for Man City since coming in January, and these were the 14 minutes. Made his debut in the FA Cup final. Rough debut. Rough moment to be brought on for your literal Man City debut. Could be a very good player, but it goes with the theme. Like, Nico Gonzalez, 780 minutes in a couple of months. Kucinov has played great. One player of the month for Man City since then. Barely gotten off the bench. Only 684 minutes in a couple of months.
I forgot about Nico Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm. Vitor Heish as well. Again, sorry for the butchering. 136 minutes. Like, that's nothing.
Well,
these guys, like, every January signing outside of Omar Marmoush have barely touched the field for Man City. And personally, that's terrible.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I forgot about half these names.
Yeah.
Like, I knew Kucherov because of the Champions League performance. And obviously, Marmoush has been playing every game.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you forgot they brought in, like, They spent $200 million on nobodies. They were people.
Yeah.
And you're right. They haven't played, man.
Yeah. Like $60 million for Nico Gonzalez. And they're just, what, now they're trying to bring in Reinders. Now they're trying to bring in Oh my God, what's
beer?
What's his, Morgan Gibbs White?
Oh yeah, Morgan Gibbs White. Yeah, yeah.
They're trying to bring in all these names now, ultimately to be a second replacement for Rodri. It seems like I know yeah. Reinders is maybe like a little bit more advanced in the play, but a little like, is this a one man team we're talking about, or is this just a club that has issues much deeper than Rodri? Because Rodri's probably going to come back for the Club World Cup. Mm. It's going to be very interesting to see if they go back to the city of old in that tournament.
Well. You got to realize that they still will be missing De Bruyne. He's gone.
He's gone. Just played his last game.
Their defense centrally is all right, but mm-hmm. still a lot of question marks on the flanks.
Absolutely.
And then the flanks on the wings, too. Bernardo Silva is not getting any younger.
Yep.
Doku has shown flashes, but he definitely does not have the final product that mm-hmm. you would expect of a City winger.
Absolutely.
I don't know. It's fun to look at them and... you know, banter them, and I love the season that they've had this year, and we are having this discourse, and I could totally see them winning the title again next season because it's City, and they'll sign more players. But I don't know, like, it could be a genuine, you know, sort of downfall for them,
yeah,
and they could be in the same position 12 months from now as they are right now. I don't think that's out of the question to say.
Absolutely not. On the other hand, this is the first time they finished trophyless since, I believe, the 16-17 season, Pep's first year.
Really?
Like, 9 years ago, I believe. I could have that off by a year. But you know what they did after the last time they went trophyless? They spent £350 million in the summer, and the next year was a Centurion year. So they went from trophyless to 100 points in the Prem. And that could very well happen again. I would not put it past Man City whatsoever. Like I said in January, I think if they're signing all these guys... it's kind of an omen for how much the 115 charges are really going to matter, because it's now almost June and it doesn't seem like they're going to come to anything.
Yeah.
And I think that opens up the door for City to just splash out again in the summer, pull a Man City. Like I said to you earlier in the season, Blake, this is a rare year where City are a non-factor in the title race. This is very, very rare, and it does not come often. You have to... take advantage when it does come, and they could absolutely be in this position in 12 months time. They could absolutely be the best team in the world in 12 months time. You really don't know how it's gonna go. You really don't. I could genuinely see it going either way.
It's just unfortunate, and maybe with a clear mind now, not, you know, I've accepted the faults of this Arsenal season.
Mm-hmm.
We should have done better, even with the injuries. Like, I'm not saying you were fully right, but what you've been telling me this whole season about how we just didn't capitalize, no matter the injuries, no matter the red card decision, and what, you might have a point. Like, you might have a genuine point.
Like, if I told, like, I've said this about a million times this season, but if I told you at the start of the year that Man City were going to be miles off the title, you would have said, this is our year.
Yeah.
This is our year. It was not our year. Not for either team.
No. Yeah. But shout out Crystal Palace once again.
Shout out Crystal Palace once again, man. This is stuff that you love to see in football.
Mm-hmm.
Them ending their drought, not drought, they just never won, but them finally winning a trophy, Bologna finally winning a trophy, Newcastle ending their trophy drought. Is this Harry Kane finally winning a trophy?
Did Bologna win the Coppa Italia?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, nice.
Against AC Milan, I believe.
Oh, right. That was last week?
That was last week, yes. Yeah. Okay. It slipped the mind then, but... all these teams winning trophies for the first time. Harry Kane winning a trophy for the first time. Is this an omen?
What a fucking segue. What a fucking segue. I sure damn hope not.
So, your little Europa League final preview before we get into some review here. I want to ask you first and foremost, Blake, who are you cheering for in this game?
Oh, my God. Like, came in hate watch. Like,
you just hope Dark Knight Rises situation.
Yes.
The field opens up.
Yes.
And the game is called off.
Yes. Okay. Obviously, I'm cheering for United. And, like, I hate watch United more, I feel like, is because Tottenham have been more comical in the past. I know they haven't. I don't know why.
We've both been comical.
I hate both teams. I think the United hate does stem from, like, the Van Persie incident, the Sanchez incident. Like,
has your hate for Man City grew since you met me?
Man City?
Or sorry, United, for Man United.
Well, I'm definitely more verbal about it.
Yes, definitely.
That's definitely true. I wouldn't say it's grown. I just say it's been conceptualized in my brain more. It's the thoughts are more coherent. So it's like more, it's clearer of why I hate them.
Maybe. What the fuck does that mean?
I have no idea. But nonetheless, I do want United to win. And I'll be happy for you. Like, genuinely, I'll be happy for you.
Thanks, man.
Because this is a trophy that I was thinking about this on the drive here. I was like, where does this rank among the trophies to win? Obviously, it's not as good as a league title. Obviously, not as good as the Champions League. Is it better than the domestic cup? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Is it harder to win than the domestic cup? Technically, because you have to qualify for it.
Yeah.
But the competition might not be as... Like, the competition in a domestic cup is probably... The top end competition's harder, but all throughout, probably not.
You're right.
So it's hard to think. So it's like, it's a really important trophy to win.
Yeah.
Like the fucking Chelsea Cup, whatever they're going to win.
Conference League, yeah.
Like, that's a joke and a half. Like, that it's good for the smaller teams, but it's a joke for Chelsea.
It is.
But for you guys and for Tottenham, like, this is huge.
This is big for the winner. I almost think it'll be bigger for the loser. I think the winner of this game avoids historic disaster.
Yeah.
Because United lose this game, you are in the hole financially, no European football for the first time in how many decades. Mm. And all the season becomes is just a 16th place finish. Maybe 17th by the time we get there. Right. I don't know. That's all the season becomes. Even worse for Tottenham.
Yeah.
And... all of a sudden, it's like, wow. Like, you really think about, like, damn, we are crazy down bad.
Right.
I do think both these teams are better than their league position suggests.
You said that, yeah.
But you just cannot be finishing this low. Yeah. And, it's an unbridled disaster if you lose this game. That's why I'm so scared for this.
Yeah.
Not because I'm fiending for Champions League football, because let's be real. We're not lasting long in that tournament, mm-hmm. but because I'm terrified of losing and losing to Tottenham.
Yeah.
We cannot be the team that Tottenham wins their first trophy against. Yeah, we cannot.
Have my support now, which I don't know if that makes it better or worse, because I clearly don't support teams that win, but
if we lose, I'm gonna come into the studio on Friday genuinely tweaking, bro. I'm be so
Maybe I'll pull up in a fucking suit.
You could. No, you have every right to.
No, because it's not the same.
I know it's not the same. I know.
Honestly, I think you guys will win. Like you said, like we have literally said throughout this entire season, and I agree with you, there's been, albeit not alongside results, there's been flashes of a team in United where you can see that there's a squad there. You can see that there's a system. You can see that there's... an overall ideology that's been sort of bought into. The players just probably aren't good enough and they're a little bit out of position and they're still getting used to this Amorim system. With Tottenham, man, like we've talked about Ange's inability to change and you know, make his system fit the players that he has, because what has been forced upon him and forced upon his team has been injuries, has been players just not good enough, has been young players who are playing out of position. And I think that is what has been the downfall of their season. And I think at least with you guys, you can go into next season, not optimistic per se, but at least somewhat comfortable knowing that the players are in with the manager. You don't have that sort of question mark looming over the summer. And just gone. Whether they win or lose,
you think potentially. He's gone?
I think so.
Hmm.
Kind of like what happened with Ten Hag. Maybe I know Ten Hag lasted 8 games or whatever it was in the next season, but I think Ange's gone no matter what. I think Amorim has had the leniency, and I don't think Amorim should be gone either way. But I do think he has the squad for next season, for sure. And I think you believe that too. So I think that overall also puts less pressure on the team. Like, I'm sure there's some players in that Tottenham squad who really fuck with Ange. They want to do it for Ange. So that adds another... mountain of pressure. For you guys, it's like you're a coherent team not a coherent team, but a coherent unit at least that I think wants to do it together, and there isn't as many outside factors.
Yeah. You can. I don't know if you can tell how nervous I am.
Oh,
for
yeah,
this game.
You know, I can tell.
Yeah, like.
Do you have a score prediction?
I don't know if I have a score prediction. I think it could finish either way. The thing that worries me is our front line and finishing, because in these games, like, United are winless in their last 8 Premier League games. And sure, we've done well in the Europa League at the same time, but we're playing a Premier League team in the final. And in a lot of these games, we're getting chances, we're putting up XG. You can actually argue in some of these games that we've deserved points, wins maybe. But the finishing, horrendous. Like, Xerxes, as much fun as we've made of him this season, at least he's a backup. At least he's another option when Højlund is not doing well. And right now, Højlund is not doing well. Horrendous against Chelsea. Balloon feet once again. And I love Rasmus Højlund, man. I truly want to get behind him. I believe in him. Like, I want him to do well at this club. And if or when he leaves United, I will be cheering for him wherever he goes. Yeah. But right now, it's a disaster, dude. And I would genuinely be tempted at starting like a Kobbie Mainoo or something at striker or something, because really? It is that bad. It's that bad. Yeah. Like, it is. Tottenham have their issues. At least with Solanke, they have a point of attack. Yeah. They have somebody who can get their head on a cross or do something. He always scores against us. Tottenham have won every game they've played against United this season. They've knocked us out the Carabao Cup. I think they knock us out I don't know what the other time they played us. But in the Premier League, they beat us as well. Mm. Like, Amorim has not figured out this Tottenham team. And it worries me. It really, really worries me. They have Madison out. They have Kulu out. Bergvall is questionable. That gives me a little bit of comfort. Mm. Not that United don't have their own injuries as well. But it would just be with the way this season is going, why would I believe that United will win this game?
Absolutely.
And you know what? If I was a Spurs fan, I'd be thinking the exact same thing. Yeah. Why would we win this game? So it's just going to be who is less shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst final of all time.
It's the worst. It's not the worst final of all time, because the narrative has to be entertaining going into it as a neutral. And I'm sure you'll have fun hating on whoever ends up losing that final.
Yeah.
But, man.
Are you okay? You're like,
so nervous.
You look like me after.
I'm so nervous.
Like me after the Arsenal pod.
Our whole
Holy
season
shit.
Comes down for this. Every loss in the Premier League, there's been the Europa League there. Every bad performance, it's been, okay, we've been playing well in the Europa League.
Yeah.
Like, the saving grace, or I guess like the excuse of the last couple of games has been, it's okay. We're saving our effort for the Europa League. Yeah. We're undefeated in this competition. We have great momentum. We just smacked Bilbao. This should go okay. But man, if we lose, bro, the worst I've ever felt this season was not getting smashed in any Premier League game. It was when we were down and out against Lyon, because that is when the weight of the season hit me. I was like, damn. We are a disaster. Mm. We are going to go crash out the Europa League, and we have nothing else to play for this season. And this season is officially 15th. Wow. We're terrible. And then all of a sudden, we end up somehow winning that game.
Yeah.
And then it's back on. The illusion is kind of back on. If we lose, am I going to be a disaster?
Yeah.
I remember 2021, Villarreal, we go into that game. Unai Emery on the other bench. Mm. Like, I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling confident going into that one. And we play terribly. Terribly. Same thing can happen. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, I guess for Tottenham, maybe for you guys as well, bringing it back to the Leafs always. Like, what I found comfort in this season with the way that the Leafs lost so horrendously, so embarrassingly, so one-sidedly, is that there's no doubt there needs to be change. There's no doubt that someone needs to go. Like the president, whoever, blah, 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 blah. Whoever is the loser of this, I know we just talked about Amorim having a safe, you know, having a safe job. But for, let's take it from a Tottenham perspective. If they do somehow win this final, then does it kind of save Ange's job? Does it get them more money? Yeah, so he gets to, you know, try another window.
Yeah.
Get the recruitment in. So does that, is that better for Tottenham as a whole? Is it better for you guys as a whole to win this? Or is it better to just face the reality of how shit the season has been for both of you and then not start from scratch, because that's not how these things work in, you can't really rebuild and get a pick in football. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think Marner and Bruno are, like, similar players, but the reason why I say, like, you can't win with Bruno is, like, this is what I see with Marner. Like,
yeah,
if you're not a part of this solution, you're the problem, right?
Yeah.
And again, this is, like, really a stretch of a comparison. It's different scenarios, but I don't know. I'm at the point where enough is enough for me and my teams. Like, I know it's a different scenario for you, but I would pass that ideology on to you and see what you can do or think about it. I don't know.
I've been looking back a little bit about, like, at our TikToks when Amarim first came in, and we posed the question, like, we've kind of forgotten how much scrutiny was put on the United squad, the players, because barely any of them have left since January, maybe outside of like Rashford.
Right.
But barely any of them have left. The conversation back then was a lot like, okay, Ten Hag got sacked, but this should also be the moment that a lot of these players need to get sacked. We were talking about like 250, 500 million that United need to rebuild.
Oh, yeah.
You know what your answer was to that?
What?
You need just Bruno gone, lad.
Yeah.
You didn't give me a number. You didn't give me any players to bring in. You just need Bruno gone, lad. Not Rashford, not Casemiro, not anybody else.
Oh.
You just need Bruno gone, lad.
At least I've stayed consistent.
No, you haven't.
He's been good.
He has been good. Now he's our only saving grace this entire season. He's our only bright spark at the moment.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's why it's a different situation.
You know, I saw Gary Neville do a preview or like a combined 11 between Tottenham and United. Yeah. He said only Bruno gets into the Tottenham team.
Do you want to do that quickly? Can we do that quickly?
Okay, so Vicario or Onana?
I think Vicario's overrated too, but Vicario.
Yeah. You struggle to pick anyone. Like Onana over anyone.
Yeah. Okay, Vicario.
Okay, let's play. Should we do a back three? No, not really. Ugh, this team is so bad. Okay, so let's go four. You say Maguire, Van de Ven?
I mean, it has to be Van de Ven. But like
it has to be Van de Ven. Yeah. But other center backs are either injured.
Yeah.
Like Yoro's actually been very good.
Yeah, he's been better
recently.
Ever since that Southampton.
But I think, well, okay, we can go Yoro. We can go Yoro versus and Van de Ven.
Van de Ven. Because is Romeo hurt?
Yeah. I think so. Hold on. He was an unused sub against Aston Villa.
You can have him, man. That's fine.
Anyways. Left back is between Udogie and Dorgu. It's Udogie. Yeah. Right back is probably Pedro Porro.
Yeah.
Midfielders.
Bruno.
Let's say a three. Let's say Bruno, Bentancur, Casemiro.
Bissou? I don't even know.
Maybe Bissouma.
Popstar? Like, shit. I don't know.
Casemiro's been fantastic in the Europa League.
Are you comfortable that he's going to have a good performance, though, in the final?
I'm comfortable. He's never lost a final in his life.
Really, eh?
Never.
Oh, well, first time for everything, but.
5-time Champions League winner. Never lost a final.
Hey, you said that you guys haven't won in the Premier League in a while. Neither have they.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they are on just as long a streak. The last time they won the Premier League was April 6th against 20th place Southampton.
The last time they won in the Premier League was April 6th?
Yes.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
I know, it's been long for them as well. But they've also been, like, they just lost to Villa as well. And we'll get into that game a little bit more about their situation. But, like, they've been sacking off the Prem as well.
Yeah.
Like, they barely played any starters them as well.
Odegaard.
Yeah. They're up to 21 losses in the Prem this season.
That's embarrassing.
That is insane. We'll get onto that more.
Yes.
But midfield three, Bentancur, Bruno.
I don't know. Sar, Bissouma.
We'll say Bissouma.
Okay.
I'll give it to you. Left wing, Sun.
It has to be. He hasn't been that good, but it has to be.
Right wing, Ahmad.
Yeah.
Striker, Solanke.
Yeah. So you got like three people in there. Maybe four.
Okay, yeah.
That's not that bad.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's kind of even.
Which is crazy to think about because, like, I think you guys are a better team than them, too.
I think so as well.
They might have individual players that are better, but they don't play like a team.
Yeah. Like, Archie Gray in the final would worry me if he starts.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They have Brennan Johnson.
Like, dude, they played fucking... Ben Davies is playing left center back for them right now still. Like,
yeah.
Again, when they sacked
but not
off.
Starter.
But still, it's like, what the hell is going on, man?
Yeah. They have Kulusevski out for the season. They have Madison out for the season.
Yeah.
Bergvall is a question mark. And meanwhile, Man United currently have... Let me go over. As a reminder, we have... Leny Yoro is questionable. Matthijs de Ligt is questionable. Xerxes and Lisandro Martinez are out for the season. And it worries me, man. It worries me.
Yeah.
I guess like we can move on to the Premier League. We can talk about these games really, really quickly. There are other Premier League games to go over. Of course.
It's just... the top four race is still interesting because like there could still be some funny things happening on the last day of the season. But it just sucks. Like, it's just sucked for a while.
Predict the top four right now.
Well, obviously, us two. Liverpool, Arsenal.
Newcastle. Probably, City Villa.
City Villa, yeah.
Villa City, maybe.
I mean, Chelsea could still do it.
Chelsea could still do it, for sure.
Like, they are...
It's very close.
So, yeah, Villa would fall out if... City win their game in hand, which is Bournemouth. And Bournemouth still have a lot to play for. Like, if they win and Brighton lose, then they're back in ninth, then that might be a place. Or, like, if Brentford... Like, if they win... Yeah, if Bournemouth win their game, then they go above Brentford, which puts them in eighth, which I think would probably get a spot.
Eighth?
Yeah. Or is it just... I don't know how these things work.
There, I know.
Do we have the coefficient? I don't fucking know how the. Or did someone have to win?
We have eighth. Won't get it. It's just first to fifth Champions League, sixth Europa League, seventh Conference League, plus Palace, who made the Europa League as well. Well, there will be
good
eight
for them, man. Fuck.
There will be eight English teams in Europe next season.
And there's no eight.
Oh, plus United Spurs.
Plus so United does Spurs. That?
So is that nine? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, yeah, nine.
Wow, nine. That's crazy, you know.
Well, there's no extra, because no one in the top seven will win a trophy. That makes them qualify themselves. So,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay, wow.
So, okay, maybe this game doesn't really matter for Bournemouth. I mean, it could. No, it doesn't. No, it actually doesn't.
Or does that push sixth place?
I don't think it does, because top five still gets Champions League. We would have needed like Arsenal to win the Champions League, and I think that would have pushed...
Champions League doesn't get you a Champions League place, though.
Then we would have...
stupid, but, yeah.
Wait, I don't know how this works, then.
I remember last year when United won the FA Cup while finishing eighth. We knocked Chelsea down from the Europa League to the Conference League.
Right.
And we knocked Newcastle out of the Conference League to out of Europe altogether. So maybe Crystal Palace winning the FA Cup currently takes the current
sixth
place out of the Europa League into Conference League. The current seventh place
gets nothing
out of nothing. Maybe. I know there will be minimum eight English teams in Europe next season. I believe it's eight, not nine, if last season serves me correctly.
I can try and fact check right now.
It's all very, very complicated. But
so there could be some funny things happening on the final day.
Anyways, Villa beat Spurs 2-0. Spurs up to 21 losses on the season, though they're not really putting that much effort into the Premier League right now, you have to say.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Chelsea beats United in a 1-0. I'll call it a 1-0 drubbing. United had some good periods of the game where I thought we controlled possession pretty well. We had some half chances here and there. But I thought like the last 20 minutes after Cucurella's header, United were abysmal. Zero effort, zero passion, zero will to get the eventual equalizer. It looks like we kind of just sacked it off, even though like we had good moments. Start of the first half, we looked a much better team. Start of the second half, we actually looked a much better team. But after Cucurella's goal, you would think that we'd pick ourselves up and put in a little more effort and like oomph into our tackles. But it just seemed like the players folded after that moment.
Good goal, by the way.
Good goal, yeah. A Reece James assist looked
Jeez Rams.
Beautiful. Shout out, man. Cucurella almost scored again after that. It was just a... It was just a dominant win from Chelsea, especially after that moment, I have to say.
Which is big for them, like a huge win for them.
Yeah. It's just, United looked horrible. Winless in their last 8 Premier League matches. That makes it 2 months. Again, we haven't looked horrendous in those games, but still, it's like, come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Can I interject with something?
Go on.
It could be 10 teams still. This is from NBC.
10 teams?
This is from NBC Sports that literally was published this morning on May 19th.
Go on.
So the 10 teams is still possible for qualifying for Europe this season, 10 Premier League teams. The top 5 teams obviously play. The top 5 teams in the Premier League will qualify for the Champions League. Add another one on to that because of the Europa League final, either Tottenham or United.
So 6 in the Champions League.
With Palace winning the FA Cup, they're in the Europa League group stage for sure.
Yep.
That makes 7. Another club would reach the Europa League, so like 6th.
6th.
And one will go to the Conference League.
7th.
Yeah, 6th and 7th. So that's already up to 9.
9, yeah.
And then if Chelsea win the Conference League but finish in 6th or 7th place, they will qualify for the Europa League and the Conference League spot will move down to 8th place, making 10 teams total. So if Chelsea win, Chelsea don't make the Champions League but finish in a lower spot,
yeah,
then that Conference League spot
then that goes to 8th,
go down,
which would be currently
Brentford
in the Conference League,
so
which I like.
So maybe
like
this, so more. Maybe Bournemouth still could make Europe. That would mean Chelsea would have to drop like a lot, but they could maybe
10 teams.
So anyway,
10 teams in Europe next
but
week?
I think it's gonna be 9 either way then.
Yeah, then yeah. Damn. So why did United knock
maybe
Newcastle out of Europe altogether last
maybe
year?
Maybe because
the coefficient difference, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or like, was it still, was the qualification different because it... Because
last year, it was top 4, not top 5.
That's Champions what I mean.
League,
that's why.
And it was 2 Europa League spots. Maybe that changes how it works.
Yeah, maybe. I think that might be why. Because it's only one
and
one now.
So complicated. UEFA is so complicated. Anyways, other games. Actually, I'll say quickly.
Yeah.
A shout out to Jamie Vardy, who scored his 200th Leicester goal in his 500th Leicester game. Hell of a ratio he'll finish his career with. Also, shout out to Everton winning 2-0 against Southampton in their final game at Goodison. Ask your thing.
Where does Vardy rank among Premier League strikers? Maybe not of all time, but of the 20th century, maybe. Of the Premier League, sure. Just Premier League, sure. Since like 90, whatever, when I was introduced.
Because it's complicated. Because you have people like your Cantonas, your Van Nistelrooys, your Zolas.
Like, is he not better than Zola at this point? Like, as a Premier League player?
Like, those guys, while they were here, lit it up.
Yeah.
Could have had historic Premier League careers, obviously slighted because they went on to play for other teams around Europe. Mm-hmm. Vardy, you get consistent, 15-goal seasons, and then eventually that adds up to 200 of the things. So let's look up all-time Premier League goal scorers. Where do you think Jamie Vardy ranks with 200?
Still probably low because I guess some of his time was...
Maybe like I put him on an Andy Cole kind of tier.
Yeah.
Let's see. All-time stats, obviously number one is the big man Alan Shearer with 260.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Harry Kane on 213. I have to correct myself a little bit. Vardy has 200 goals in all comps.
Yeah.
For Leicester.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney, 208.
Wayne Rooney.
Andy Cole, 187. So maybe I put him a little lower. Okay. Henry, same tier as like the Van Nistelrooys and stuff. 175 Premier League goals. Would have gotten a lot more if he stayed at Arsenal.
Yeah, fair.
Jamie Vardy currently is 14th with 145 Premier League goals.
Like, that's crazy.
That is one more than Robin Van Persie.
That's ridiculous.
And one less than Teddy Sheringham. So, yeah, he's kind of on like, he's only five behind Michael Owen. Again, went to Real Madrid. But
damn, man. Five behind
Michael Owen, one ahead of Robin Van Persie. Yeah.
Man, it's always crazy to think that Jermaine Defoe is 10th, eh?
You know who's number 20?
Who?
Raheem Sterling.
No.
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Yep. 123 of those. Jesus. Only three behind, actually only two behind Nicholas Anelka, three behind Robbie Keane,
Jesus.
Four behind Heung-min Son. Yeah, man.
Wow.
Anyways, shout out Jamie Vardy. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to ask you,
mm-hmm.
and now that's again to another tangent. This will be a long pod. Mm. I have a solution for relegated teams.
Okay.
So we have a bit of a problem in the Premier League, right?
Yeah.
The teams that have come up this season are going straight back down. I think that's the second year in a row that's happened.
You're right.
And with some teams coming right back up, might be Sunderland, might be Sheffield. It's also going to be Leeds. It's also going to be, who's the other one coming up? Bristol? No.
No.
Who is it? Someone that got relegated last year.
Hold on.
Remind me, please.
Sorry, this is so bad of us. Burnley.
Always bloody Burnley. Yeah. Those three are coming up, and I think there will be the odds on favorite to go straight back down. So this is my proposal, right? The NBA play-in format.
Oh, my.
No. Hear me out.
Okay.
So I think the biggest difference is that you need more teams up for relegation. So similarly, there's a playoff to get into the Premier League.
Yeah.
I think there should be a playoff to stay in the Premier League. And this season, yes, it would include United, theoretically. I think if there was actually more relegation spots, we would have put more effort into the Premier League, and then maybe we wouldn't be in this position to start with. Anyways. If I go to the Premier League table right now, so imagine it's like 20th place gets automatically relegated, okay? Mm-hmm. And then 19th place Ipswich would play 16th place United. The winner of that, no, hold on. hold the line.
Okay.
Hold the line. Hold on. 19th place Ipswich would play 18th place Leicester City.
Okay.
The winner of that plays the loser of United versus Spurs.
Okay.
The winner of United Spurs obviously stays in the Premier League. The loser of United Spurs plays the winner of Leicester Ipswich to stay in the Premier League. Or you involve even more teams in that. Basically, just give a chance to either United or Spurs or even West Ham in 15th. Or 14th, whatever.
Oh man, that's so far down.
To go down to the championship. And it'll be a playoff, but
no.
I think there should be more spots opened up because I think you have to mix it around a little bit more.
Yeah, but they do that in other leagues, though. Like, kind of. Like, the team has a chance to stay up.
Yeah. Or you could do, like, a fourth team from the championship plays 17th place in the Premier League in a one-time playoff to stay in.
I don't know. Then we're... I suppose, but like, I don't know. Change is also really hard to muster up, especially in football.
I'm telling you, bro, with the payment disparity of the Premier League versus the Championship, this is going to become the norm of the three new teams just getting relegated straight away.
And you know what? You can say that, but however, the sample size is still only 2 years. Because if you look at the previous like Premier League seasons, I mean, somehow... Bournemouth made it back up and are a really decent team.
Yep.
Same with Forest. Same with Wolves, who are going to sell Cunha to you guys for
we'll get into that.
Yeah. However much money they want there. But if we look at the Premier League table like over the years, if I can do that.
But my specific point is that like the disparity has grown even more in the last couple of years. So I think we have to look at even a smaller sample size.
Sure. And you know what? And if it happens again next season, then we can have like
a serious talk about it.
I just like, how is it?
You don't want to be overreactionary.
No. Yeah. Because how is it Luton Town's fault that they finished fucking 18th in the Premier League last season?
And they're relegated again.
Right down to the fucking League One.
Yeah.
Like that's an anomaly, right?
Yeah.
Burnley and Sheffield. Sure. Like Sheffield were awful. And Burnley, mm-hmm. they're coming back up. I don't know, maybe they'll do something different. Like, if we go 22-23, it was Leicester, Leeds. Wait. So who? Yeah, it was Leicester, Leeds, and Southampton. And Southampton stayed, at least.
Yeah.
But
I just think we're going to have that talk soon. We're going to have that talk soon, man. Because I think, especially in the last couple of years, it's grown so much.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Anyways, elsewhere in the Prem, real quick, Arsenal, little 1-0 win against Newcastle. Wrapped up second place. Congratulations, Rice Banger.
Yeah, yay.
Second place is secured.
Good for them.
Beautiful kits, by the way.
Please do something next year. Please sign Gyökeres. Please sign.
Would you get a Gyökeres number 14 new Arsenal kit?
Oh, my God, yeah. Jesus, I can't wait. Well, I think I'm a big kit guy. You know that.
Yep.
So I think next year candidates, I do have a MLS kit on the way. Shout out Mr. Miles. Shout out, like, the normal Miles, not Miles Lewis-Skelly, because he got me the kit from.
Yes, Mr. Alberga.
Yeah. I think I'm thinking Gabriel next season. I think I'm thinking Gyökeres. I think I'm thinking maybe. Maybe there. Rodrigo.
Zubimendi. He's got to earn it.
Yeah, he does. It's funny. Imagine the narratives that on this podcast, if Rodrigo is an Arsenal player, that'd be fucking fantastic. After all the fights.
It'd be really funny, actually.
I want him so bad.
I would like to see it. I would love to see Rodrigo in the Premier League.
Oh, he's going to City. Like...
Fuck.
He's also such a City player, too. Like, he's such a City player.
No, he's not.
Oh, yeah.
He's Jogo Manito. That is opposite of City player.
I just mean, like, player that Arsenal wants. And just
I see.
Yeah, fair.
Okay. Let's go around Europe really, really quickly. Okay. Barcelona lost 3-2 to Villarreal. Tejan Buchanan winner.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
His first Villarreal goal.
What
was a winner against Barcelona?
Did he start?
I have no idea.
Let me check.
But he had a little tap in there for the 3-2 win.
Oh, my God.
Away, by the way. So he scored this is Barca's last game in their temporary home.
Mm.
Tejan got the last goal there.
Damn.
Or is there one more game in La Liga? No, I think this is La Liga all wrapped up now.
Damn. That's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Real Madrid won 2-0 against Sevilla. Mbappe locked up the Pichichi. Congrats to Mbappe.
Wait, why did he lock it up? There's one game left, no?
Is there one game left?
Yeah.
There's one game. Okay, so it's not locked up. Mm. But it's still, he'll still probably win it.
Yeah.
I don't think Lewandowski's coming back. Anyways. And then also Atleti won 4-1 against Betis. Julian Alvarez with a beautiful free kick. Have you seen it? Oh, look it up if you can. Elsewhere around Europe, the Bundesliga wrapped up this weekend. Dortmund clinched the last Champions League spot. They've won their last 5 games straight, unbeaten in their final 8. I think they won 7 of their last 8. Won their last 5 straight, just got it by a point over Freiburg. It's massive.
What? Ew.
Oh, you just saw the Julian Alvarez free kick?
Oh, my God.
Beautiful, man.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Liga finished. PSG lifted their trophy. Shout out.
Shout out.
Mason Greenwood tied Dembele on the final day for the Golden Boot.
Ballon d'Or shouts?
Indeed.
Why not? I mean, so is he viable to come back in the squad?
What do you mean?
He's on loan still, right? Or does he?
No, no. We sold him. We sold him last summer.
Oh, sold out, right?
Oh, yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't take him back. I wouldn't take him back. That's the last thing we fucking need.
He might do wonders though.
Oh yeah, like I see him going. I see him going to like
Arsenal. Wait, no.
If he leaves Marseille, I can see him going to like. A Juventus, an AC Milan.
Yeah, he's Premier League, like, exed. He can never go back to the
I think he's banned there.
Yeah.
Like, he was on the field.
What's it called when you got, like, when you get, like, banned on TikTok? Like, you're shadow banned. He's shadow banned from the Premier League.
I think he's blacklisted.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on the no-fly zone to the Premier
League. He's what listed?
Blacklisted. Okay. That's a thing. Okay. Don't fucking, don't make it what it's not. Don't do that.
Sorry.
He was on the field after the last game with his wife, Harriet.
Like, the wife?
The girl. So.
Bro, like, what the fuck?
They have a kid, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. Like, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. Anyways, man.
Can we... Oh, Ajax. Do you guys talk about that?
Historical collapse.
Yeah, so it's over now, right? They, like, they lost it, no?
Eredivisie is over.
So, what? Ajax needed, like, what? Like, 5 points in their last five games or something?
Yeah.
Like, they were pretty much had the title done like and 8 dusted. Points. Or, yeah, whatever it was.
Yeah.
They
got a huge difference lead. Is crazy.
They lost every single game. Then in the last game of the season, or second last game. Last game? Second last game?
I don't even know.
Second last game or last game of the season, they were up 2-1 in, like, the 90th plus, like, 10 yeah. minutes or whatever. And then Groningen equalized.
Shout out Groningen.
Yeah. And they... And they fucking just killed their title hopes.
Wow.
And, yeah, that means that PSV are Eredivisie champions. Good for
see
them.
See that video of Wout Weghorst?
I did not.
Pushing the camera. There was, they're all lining up, applauding their fans, all very sad, obviously. The camera comes panning around to Wout Weghorst. He just slaps it to the ground. It's like the Pep one at Burnley last year. Do you remember the...
Kind of, yeah.
It was that, but he actually, like, smashed to the ground.
Yeah, it sucks, man. Like... I don't even know what to say. Like, I if I was a fan of them, I would. Wow. Yeah.
Elsewhere, Sporting clinched the Portuguese league.
Haha. Sorry. It doesn't really matter to you.
It matters.
Does it actually? Like,
it matters.
Be honest to me.
Like, it matters.
Do you actually care?
I do actually care.
Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, like, how much do you actually care that they didn't win the Premier Liga?
I'll give you this. Not as much.
Primeira
as I,
Liga.
Liga Portugal. Not as much as I cared about the Leafs yesterday.
I love that. I love that.
Like, I'll be straight up honest about it.
I love that from you.
But this is like, they're like over TFC, under Leafs, I'd say.
Fair.
Yeah.
Did it used to be called the Primeira Liga?
It was.
Okay. So I'm not crazy.
Yeah, some. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We drew to Braga anyways. So like we just had to match, we were level on points going into the final game with Sporting. We needed Sporting to draw or drop points. We needed to win.
Yeah.
They won Sporting, but we drew to Braga anyway, so it didn't really matter. We're actually going to play Sporting again in the Taça de Portugal. Sorry for my pronunciation, Dad. Next Sunday on the 25th.
The Community Shield of Portugal.
FA Cup. Equivalent.
Oh, FA Cup. Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
And one last thing. Di Maria is leaving Benfica.
I did see that.
Before the Club World Cup.
Weird, eh?
That sucks.
Yeah. Why is he not retiring? He's old now.
Yeah. Benfica was his first club, so it was nice to see him come over.
Is he going Saudi?
Who knows? Who knows? Could go over to Argentina. I don't know.
True.
We'll see. Like, we'll see how that goes. Okay. But I wish he stayed a little bit longer, but anyways, I'll be cheering long and hard for them in the Club World Cup. That'll be my team. I got no one else to cheer for.
Yeah, I know. I need TFC to play more like they did against Montreal this past weekend, so I can get some more hype on this fucking team, man.
Big 6-1 win for TFC.
It's them or bus. Well, or the Jays, but I mean, fuck.
Well, it is bus for TFC. They have nothing else to play for. We're not making the playoffs.
No. Out of the lost in the Canadian Championship.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Last but not least, in Europe, before we get on to transfers, the Serie A title race.
Oh, right.
Historic. Mm-hmm. Historic. There's one game to go, but in the penultimate game week, the Serie A scriptwriters, as Antoine said, absolutely cooked. Let me give you the whole rundown here. So the difference... is 1 point. Napoli is 1 point ahead of Inter in the title race. That was it going into yesterday, right? Bisek scores to make it 1-0 for Inter against Lazio yesterday. And at halftime, Inter are winning, Napoli are drawing with Parma. Parma's not a good team. Then Lazio equalize. It's 1-1. Then Dumfries scores to make it 2-1. We're back to the same situation, all while Napoli is still deadlocked with Parma, right? In the 88th minute, it is a penalty for Lazio to equalize. They make it 2-2, and Inzaghi gets sent off. Drama.
Crazy.
So 2-2 for...
In that game.
In the Inter game. Yes. Meanwhile, Napoli get a penalty in the 96th minute. Inter go from winning and about to overtake Napoli to Napoli about to clinch Serie A. But then the penalty is overturned.
So what was the penalty? Like what?
So the penalty was a valid penalty. Yeah. It was a trip on Neres, I believe.
Yeah.
But there was a foul in the buildup.
Oh my God. That's like even worse than it. Oh my God. That's terrible.
Both games end in a draw. The gap is still 1 point.
Who do they play next? Napoli has Cagliari and Inter has Como.
Ooh. Yeah. Cesc Fabregas is Como.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's Napoli's league to lose. Napoli's league to lose.
They, hey, if they somehow win it too, again, I'm always like, you lose your best player and somehow you win. It's like the, what's the, like my uncle was saying, the Ewing theory, Patrick Ewing, like when he left the Knicks or whatever, then they were better.
Yeah.
Or they were, whenever he didn't play with the Knicks, they would always play better. It's like when you lose your best player, you actually play better for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. You know?
Another omen for Spurs. The Knicks are finally good again. I can't believe it.
Well, yeah, and same with the Leafs until they lost.
I know, but I'm just saying, man. It's their first Eastern Conference final since 99? 2000?
Well, that must be nice.
Just saying, man. It's an omen. Anyways, let's move on to some transfers. I'm going to go really quick through this, okay? You give me your quick-fire thoughts on these. Some are confirmed. Some are rumors. Okay. Tell me what you think. Frimpong to Liverpool is here we go.
It's annoying. Like I said earlier, did I say it on the pod or not on the pod?
Not on the pod.
Yeah. Similar attacking style right back, but very different play styles of right back. Good signing for them. I know you have some
inhibition. I have a little bit of trepidation with it. Yeah. I think Trent got exposed a bunch there for his defensive inefficiencies. But if you look at his defensive ability compared to Frimpong's, Trent's actually way better. So Frimpong, in obviously it depends on the system that Arne Slot plays. Maybe Frimpong will be a borderline winger. I'm not sure. But if he plays as a traditional right back in a four, I actually see him really struggling in the Premier League, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I think this man could be exposed. I think teams could target that side of the pitch, and I think he's going to look way different than he did under Xabi in a three-back.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I have my trepidations with it. Obviously, Jeremy Frimpong is a fantastic player on his day in the right system. We know he can absolutely cook, but I'm not so sure that this will be the right system for him. Yeah. Time will tell.
Interesting, because he's never really, like, he's never really played right back. He's like never played right back in a four.
If you go on...
Maybe at Celtic or whatever. I don't fucking know, but...
If you go on FB Ref, or like the percentiles, right?
Yeah.
Like Trent will be in like the 50th percentile, 60th percentile of like tackles completed, clearances, duels,
like not great, but whatever. Fine, whatever.
Like it's not great. Yeah. Like Frimpong is like 2%.
Really? Jesus 2%. Christ.
It's not even just like the amount that he puts in every game because, you know, he doesn't play.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that many duties as it, but it's like the percent of the duels that he does go for are super low. And the tackles that he does go for rarely are successful.
Right.
So like that's really worrying. So we'll see how that turns out. To Ginny Reinders, the City? Maybe.
I mean, like, that's a really... We've talked about him being super underrated on this podcast, I feel like.
Yeah.
And
I don't know much about his game, I'll be honest.
Neither do I, besides that the Italian fans love him. And he has good cards on FIFA. Like, fuck, I don't know. But, I mean, if he's supposed to be a Rodri proxy, sure. I mean, they're going to need midfield help. They're going to need a lot of help, and they're going to find it. So I don't think it'll be a bad move for them, unfortunately.
If City just spend big in this window again and waltz to another Premier League, I'm going to be so upset.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose love of the game even more.
Same.
You know what? I didn't want to go here. No mention from my dad about the FA Cup final.
Really, eh?
Barely watches City anymore.
Well, if I speak.
Really rocking his PSG kit, though.
Mm. Mm-hmm. If I speak. Uh-huh. If I speak.
Mm-hmm. Dean Huijsen to Real Madrid.
This one I like a lot for Huijsen and for Real Madrid because they've kind of needed another commanding guy. And I know he's young. I know he's slightly inexperienced. But he's done it in the Premier League. I mean, I get that Bournemouth kind of fell off at the end of the season, but the player in Dean Huijsen that's there is a really good one. Yeah. And I think he'll flourish in a Real Madrid side.
Okay. Next is Cunha to United.
This one also, I think, is a good move. And I just like it because he can play all across the front for you guys.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I think Cunha is like the perfect 10 for Emery.
Yeah.
Premier League proven, skillful, tricky in tight spaces, mm-hmm. has creative, can finish as well.
Yeah.
I think this is the perfect, like, like Gonsalves kind of player.
Yeah, you think, team. Right? Because, like, he can go right through the middle if you want him to, if he needs to. But you're right. On the left or the right might be more of his style. And I think what is good about him is, like what you said, I look at the best players as their, like, game-break ability. Saka has that, but he's still trying to really master it. Players like Mbappe, Salah, Vinny, maybe not so much this season, but they have those, like, pop-up moments. Oh, my God, you scored. Lamine Yamal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think Matheus Cunha has a little bit of, and that's important in this that type of squad.
Absolutely. On the other hand, I could see him just flopping because it's the history of United.
Fair.
There have been more surefire signings that have flopped at United.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Maybe I'm cursing there. Anyways, Jonathan Tah to Bayern looks likely to happen. I'm just surprised Barca isn't really pushing for him.
So I just saw a thing that I saw that he is going, that Barca, hold on. I saw Fab post something about it.
Just now?
Like this morning, maybe.
I think I was looking at it too. Yeah, it looks like Bayern are the favorites, it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like, wasn't he already there before? He was there already, I swear. Maybe not.
No.
I just signed him on Bayern career mode.
That would probably make sense. I mean, it's the history of the Bayern, isn't it?
German center back? All right, bet. German center back that plays for another German team? Yeah, there you go.
Since you were last here, we got the Zubimendi Here We Go. What are your thoughts on it?
If we re-sign Partey, great.
I wouldn't want Partey.
No, we do. No. We need depth. What happened? What happened this season? We need depth.
Of course.
Partey is a good
You bring in a left back, mm-hmm. and then you have MLS there in midfield coverage.
Yeah, sure. We need depth. I like the signing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gyökeres is leaving Sporting. If you had to pick a team now, where is he going?
Arsenal! I want him so bad. I'm so high on this guy. I saw him play against us, and his explosiveness and his, I mean, I don't think he's very much two-footed, but it seems like he is. Like, he can just score with wherever. He's so explosive. We haven't had, like, Aubameyang, too, in his later tenure with Arsenal, wasn't as explosive. He was a good finisher, but he wasn't, like, powerful. He was, like, a faster guy, but not explosive enough. Gyökeres is explosive. He's fun. He has a finish on him. He's the player we need. He's the player we need. I don't want Šeško. I don't want anyone else. I want Gyökeres.
I saw an interesting thing. Apparently, like, I was talking about this with Antoine last week. Like, oh my God, like, imagine Gyökeres on the end of, like, Yamal crosses or Saka crosses. And I looked into it. Of his last 100 goals for Sporting, only 5 were headers. He has not scored one header all season. You know how crazy that is?
That is fucked.
That's insane.
Fantastic. Because we already score headers. Gabriel, Saliba, Havertz. Havertz is still going to get game time if he comes on. Even some of our, like, midfielders, like Marino, whatever. They've scored headers the entire season. Mm-hmm. You know what we haven't done? Had a striker that can just fucking fire the ball in the back of the net at Mach 10 million speed. That's what I want from him. I am so high on this guy.
I would be too. And it's not like you're sending in the looped crosses that require headers. You're also sending in low ones, too.
Yeah, just fucking fire it. I'm fired up.
Yeah, if you guys get Gyökeres in the summer, it's a statement.
Yeah.
You guys need to make a statement this summer.
Please.
Arteta was just talking the other day. Arteta was just talking about the other day. He's like, I'm going to relax now. Let the men upstairs do the thing this summer, and let's see where we are.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you sign a Victor Gyökeres, teams play Arsenal scared.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a real shot at the Premier League, Champions League, all of those automatically, I think. Unless he flops, which could happen. He's a Coventry flop, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
No, he'll cook for you.
Yeah.
Rodrigo and Gyökeres. That's not happening. Let me not even say
it. Bro, but like, why not? Like, we need a winger too. Like, respectfully, the left back thing, I don't really care. That could be a January problem. Because I feel like a left back in January is a lot easier to get than like a winger or a striker.
Sure.
We have Zubi, get me Gyökeres and a winger, and then go. I don't need anything else besides that. Mm. Then we go. And maybe a re-sign of Thomas Partey. Because Jorginho's gone too. So then if we don't like it, then we actually like don't have infielders.
Fair. Fair enough then. Fair enough. Okay, next up is Ryan Cherki is leaving Lyon.
I did see that.
Where do you think he should go?
I would, like, again, not just play ours. But like low key, like I would
should go to the Leafs, Blake.
Shut up. No, I would like Arsenal to keep an eye on him because again,
left winger.
Yeah, as someone that could play on the wing, could also play centrally if you really wanted to. But again, a winger that is definitely, you know, young and still has some flair to him. I think a United could use him too. I think that's a player that United could definitely snap up. A team like Tottenham, a team like, I don't know. I guess
he's just PSG bound just because.
I was going to say, like, I feel like he might stay local, especially as a French/Algerian guy. He might stay local, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, all this just for him to go to PSG, I feel like. Like, probably. That's all I'm scared of. Kirkus to Liverpool seems likely now. What are your thoughts?
Annoying. Because I like Kirkus a lot.
These are statements from Liverpool as well.
I know. And think of what, Kirkus has been there for only a year now, it's been?
2 years, I believe.
Two?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a good signing. He's a great player. I guess they're done with Robbo. A lot of changes happening in Liverpool, low-key, with Trent leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Robbo they want to get rid of. Van Dijk is aging. He'll still be fine. Salah's aging. I mean, I'm sure he'll have a fine season again next year, but I don't know. A lot of their key players are leaving or getting older, which is still opens the door for us, so... They still definitely got a lot to do, but they still have a great squad, so we'll see.
For sure. And last but not least, Blake, Emi Martinez is leaving Villa.
I saw that. So what was the mindset behind that? Because, like, thank God, get the fuck out of my face.
He's probably going Saudi.
Yeah, he would. He would. He's the type of player to do that.
Or, like, Barca.
Oh, I hope he goes to Barca and just absolutely stinks
up their gaff. I called that last summer, actually. They said Emi to Barca.
I hope he does, because he's going to stink up their gaff.
Mm.
I can't wait. He's not a good keeper. He's an above-average keeper.
Emi to Barca?
Yeah.
Our Lord and Savior Aaron Ramsdale to Villa.
Is that your prediction?
Shout out.
Shout out Aaron, bro.
You can't see it on that camera. But
no, but shout out Aaron. He's a legend.
That's exactly what I called last summer, though.
Really?
Yep.
I would love it.
I've also seen him linked to United. Can we stop that, please?
Would that be funny?
Onana and Martinez?
Yeah, that's crazy.
On the same
team. That's pretty good. I have to get a jersey. Or we'd have to get a jersey. So, speaking of Ramsdale, he's got to get a move, right?
You would think. Does he, though?
I don't know.
Where would he go? Maybe to like one of the teams coming up.
You'd think.
Burnley are fine with Trafford. Just unless they sell Trafford.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who do Leeds have?
Leeds, I'm not, maybe Melier still?
No, Melier is in.
Where did Melier go? Where did Melier go?
He is in. Oh, no, he is in Leeds still. I like.
Yeah, still. Okay. And then Sunderland or the other one. I'm not sure.
Sheffield
has, well, they've already tried the Ramsdale thing, haven't they? True. Anyways,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens for sure.
All right,
like, you're telling me Everton couldn't use him? No, Pickford, I'm dumb. Like, let's see, like West Ham, who do they have?
Areola and Fabianski.
32 though.
Yeah,
man, they're good.
Yeah, I mean, like, teams are just fine. He could go abroad. You never know.
Yeah, true.
Anyways.
Okay.
This is a topic for another day.
I know.
Let's
wrap it up.
Let's wrap this thing up. It's been a good little pod here.
I missed it, man. Like I said, I was like, oh, I'm swearing off all sports. Is it worth it? This is what makes it worth it. Talking with my boy here about the sport, my favorite sport that I love.
Yeah.
That's why. I get sick of talking about hockey. Although the Leafs are my team, I get sick of talking about hockey very quickly because when the Leafs are not in it, I lose a lot of interest. But this sport, man, something different about it. Love it to death. Love you guys to death. Thank you for listening. We've grown a lot these past couple of, you know, months since we've got the studio, and even at the end of the last school year. And I think we haven't even gotten the chance to say thank you. So if you make it this far, we genuinely appreciate you so much.
Shout out. Shout out. I have to say I miss Antoine.
Did you say that when I wasn't here last week?
I did.
Did you?
I did.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, don't even go there.
Then I miss him too.
Okay. We're coming up on Miles coming back as well. We got to get naps on the pod before.
Mm-hmm.
We got to set up a fourth microphone on this table pretty soon.
Yeah.
That'll be work.
That day we do that, I'll come and we can also teach me to edit.
Oh, yeah?
Is that like a plan that we can do?
That's a plan we can do, for sure. Okay. Like, I'll definitely do it at some point.
And we can footy it too.
Oh, I miss footy, bro. You got to hit some.
Side note, not a Nando sponsorship, but after the game, they were giving out, like, this is in the last round. They're giving out Nando's, like, for, like, half-price chicken.
Oh, I saw that on the group chat.
But it's done now. Like, they expired yesterday.
Yeah. My mom once came home with, like, 20 Nando's coupons.
Yeah, and you were like, all right, well.
We actually got it the other day.
Nice. How'd it taste? Fantastic.
Fucking fantastic, man. It's pretty good. Love Nando's so much.
Imagine a Nando sponsorship.
Nando's and Monster sponsorship. Please. Please.
That's funny.
Anyways. That'd be a conflict of interest for you.
No.
Light flex. Anyways, guys, this has been yet another episode of the 6 Yard Box podcast. To what Blake just said, we are coming up on the big 100. I don't know what we're going to do for that. I don't know if I'm going to be depressed at the time if United lose. I don't know what's going to happen. But the next time I'm sitting in this chair, we will be debriefing the Europa League final. I am shitting my pants for it. Mm. But either way, thank you so much for watching or listening to another episode of the 6 Yard Box podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, do all the YouTube things. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, leave us a little 5-star rating and tell us who you got in the final. And on Friday, we will see you all soon. See us out, Blake.
We out.
Goodbye, everybody.